Welcome in to another Barncast Live. I'm back. I was off last week. Zach and Dap held it down. Appreciate it, guys. Doing cheer dad stuff last weekend, and y'all killed it. Also got my man Ben Taylor jumping in here this evening.
Who?
Should be a Ben Taylor.
I know.
The Ben Taylor?
The Ben Taylor. Part two, or one half of the afternoon delight is what that is right there.
Part two.
Oh, you had you had the part two right.
I said that wrong. I should be the second half.
The number two.
Yeah, the number two.
Thanks for that, Kyle.
Guys, tonight we're going to talk quarterbacks, in particular high school quarterbacks. No. I haven't really had a chance to talk about Auburn's latest addition. Feels like the 15th commitment in the last 10 days or something like that, something crazy. Gary Chapman Jr. from Brookwood High School over in Snellville, Georgia. There is no secret. He's a three-star guy, hasn't had a lot of playing time. I think he's only had 1 year as a quarterback in high school. He's going into his second year as a starter. And it's also no secret that Auburn missed on a quarterback first before you turned to this guy. So I want to talk about Gary Chapman Jr. first, and then kind of move into this really weird space that I feel like Auburn fans are when it comes to recruiting high school quarterbacks. And maybe we're just scarred. I don't know. We'll get to that. But I want to talk about Gary Chapman first. Zach, I know you've already done a show on him. I know you've been looking at him. I know you're talking about him with your recruiting guys the week leading up. Like, tell me what you think about Gary Chapman Jr. What should Auburn fans – look forward to when it comes to Gary Chapman Jr.?
Yeah. And let's talk about him before we talk about the situation, which I think is what you want to do, Kyle. Yeah. So yeah, clearly the traits are there. 6 foot, not the tallest kid, but clearly athletic, clearly has an arm. I think he's pretty accurate. Arm strength is definitely there. The ability to move within the pocket and escape the pocket is certainly there. And look, I've gotten texts all throughout the day today, like, okay, finally sat down to watch some of Chapman's stuff. And yeah, look, what you've said over the last week or so about this kid, like, I get it. And I think a massive part of the context of all of this are the guys that he's playing against. This isn't and I'm not meaning this in a negative way, but like when we watched Alvin Henderson's tape, it was like, man, he's going up against all these, like, you know, these guys in the middle of nowhere in Alabama, 1A football. Like, that's not what's happening here. I mean, he's going up against some of the most talented players in the country. I mean, when you talk about those players at a high classification in the state of Georgia and also playing, you know, in that Atlanta area, there's a lot of talent that he's going up against. And there are several plays where you're looking and it's like, man, this guy seems like he's the best athlete on the field, which is exactly what you want to see. So I'm going to be honest. I don't think the tape fully matches what the offer list looks like for him right now.
Zach, is this the type talent that we talked about with Omar when people kept going Alvin Henderson, and we said, hey, be careful, Omar Mapson, 7A football, he's playing against different competition than Alvin Henderson is, so he's probably going to see a little bit more playing time? And then that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think context of your film matters 100% in every sport. Is it everything? No, but I do think it helps you. You can be exceptional at 1A and transition to the college level. And you can kind of be, I mean, obviously you can be an exceptional at the highest level and make that transition probably a little bit easier. There are exceptions and everything. But when you look at what Gary Chapman Jr. has done is, all right, he took over a program and led his school to the playoffs in his first year as a starter. I think they went to the second round in a very competitive field in high school football. And so we'll see what that step looks like. As when he goes into his senior year, I'm sure Auburn fans are going to kind of make the drive, either, you know, Auburn fans in Atlanta to go over to Snellville to watch him, or maybe some folks locally driving over there. But I'm excited to see what this kid does his senior year.
For sure. For sure. Happy Drake May Day, by the way. 10-time champ, Zach says.
So locked on Baylor's Cam Stewart. He lives in Boston. We're both big Patriot fans. He texted me an hour ago. He's like, dude, I just got on a flight. Drake May is on here. I swear to you. And I'm like, no way. I would be insufferable if I were in that situation. So honestly, I'm glad it's not me.
Zach, I want to make. Go ahead.
I saw a video of him just between me and you. Rather terrible golfer, by the way. Drake May.
Drake May, bad golfer. Terrible. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
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 In the film room. Alex Golish.
Zach's right there with Alex Golish and Drake May. Top of his list. Anti-golf. You know, love it.
Zach, I have one about
Mike Vrabel, but I'm not going to, so never mind.
Yeah, leave the – yeah, something to do.
I was going to say, I don't want Mike Vrabel to be good at golfing, but maybe he should be golfing. Maybe he should take up
a hobby.
Yeah.
Yep. There's one problem I have with the classification he plays in, Zach, and it's that – and it's maybe a Georgia high school football issue altogether. It's that they don't put the number of A's before – before the A. So like in Alabama, if it's 4A, it's literally the number 4 and then A. Georgia literally lists out every A. So it's like A for 6A, they literally draw out 6 A's. Like, that's really frustrating.
Who's got time for that?
I mean, and I'll get crossed, like it'll look like I have to recount like 3 times. I'm trying to figure out if it's 6 or 7 A.
It's just 5 or 6.
That's silly. So I want my kids from Georgia in lower classifications just so it's easier to distinguish the classification.
Because Kyle has trouble counting to 5. So exactly. Please.
6. Please. It's hard to count. Yes. It's hard to count the same letter in a row like that many times. Like it makes me go cross-eyed.
Oh, it's the most difficult thing in the world, Kyle. Absolutely.
Without a doubt. Reverend Barn Booster says, I think this isn't AU signing a safe recruiting service quarterback and more like AU looking – at traits, development, fit, and if he develops physically and shapes up as a passer, they will wonder why he was a 3-star in the first place. I think that echoes a lot of what Zach said. I think he like you mentioned, Zach, he played – last year was his first year as a starter, and I think he only played 10 games, had some injuries, still put up really good stats, took him to the second round of the playoffs in that high classification that may or may not be 6A. We think it's 6A, but I can't – make out if it's actually 6 A's whenever you read it. Yeah. So here's the direction I want to go in. And this is where Auburn fans, I love Auburn fans and they frustrate me sometimes at the same time, is that this conversation we have, there could be already comments. I haven't really seen one in the chat yet, but there will be some comments where it's like, you guys are sunshine pumping. It's a 3-star quarterback, blah, 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 blah. Auburn missed their top target. As if talking about the guy that we just brought in or the guy that's committed, just simply acknowledging that and that there are good physical traits and you kind of see the direction they're going in, it's sort of when you acknowledge that, you're basically saying that Auburn got their number one target is what it feels like, the messaging that I'm seeing out there on message boards, on Twitter, comments on Instagram. It's like you're not allowed to acknowledge there could be something here. There could be some clay here that can be molded. Where does that come from? I can't. Where did that originate?
Being burned. I mean, when's the last good developed quarterback came through Auburn?
Is that what it is, Zach?
I think that people are just, you know, we get guys that we think have got stars by their name and that are going to be impressive. But yet, I mean, the one we had goes to Oregon. The last one we had, he really didn't leave here better than when he came in, I don't think, as far as Bo Nix is concerned. And then, you know, you got Cam wasn't really developed. He came in for a year, put on his show. Same thing with Nick Marshall. There were a couple that you probably thought had some opportunity there. Jarrett Stidham with a couple of years, but who knows if he really got developed and he has since developed into a pretty good pro quarterback. I mean, he was serviceable behind Bo at Denver last year, but I think people are just burned on not having that the guy. Kyle, you and I did a show. I mean, Lamar Jackson comes to Auburn. We're not having this conversation.
Right.
No, but we got Tyler Queen instead.
Yeah.
According to ChatGPT.
That's exactly what we said in the show, Zach.
Zach, is that where you think it comes from? Just being burned or like where?
No,
where
I think I think it's just from a place of being bad for 5 years is kind of where we're at with it. You know, the whole quarterback thing, I obviously we all want a good quarterback, but we have always had this obsession as a fan base, even when this happened under Gus, where Gus was getting in solid transfer quarterbacks. And we're like, man, why can't we just keep a guy and develop him? And I think that's going to be even tougher to do now in this day and age, because 5-star quarterbacks transfer. They just do. It's like 80-something% of them transfer. And look, I mean, is it more likely that Gary Chapman Jr. starts at Auburn or starts somewhere else? Like, if y'all had to take that bet right now, I would say he gets his first start somewhere else.
Yes,
just statistically, that's the nature of it. Yep. Now, that's not what we're going to talk about today. We're excited about him being here. But I do think that's a part of this. And I also think it's weird, the obsession over like the three-star chatter and it being tied to Alex Golish. This is something that I did on my reaction show. And it's just driving me crazy. Like, okay, yeah, another three-star with Gary Chapman Jr. Like, okay, that one's fine. Like, he is a three-star. He is. And I think one place has him not even ranked. Mison Johnson-Cook, though. Let's just go through the class real quick. Just let me do this real quick.
Yeah, do it.
Mison Johnson-Cook, not a three-star. He's a four-star everywhere.
Quite the opposite.
Brylan Odor, four-star in the composite. George Lamons Jr., four-star in the composite. Jalen Moore, three-star interior offensive lineman. Then Donovan Moore, four-star across the board. And you're like, your only other three-star outside of Gary Chapman Jr. is projected to play guard. Those guys don't, like, you just don't get a whole lot of that. Those are usually tackles that just have to move inside, and so they're rated as tackles. In most cases, not all, but in a good bit of them. And so when people are like, oh my, I had somebody come up to me at church, like, I can't believe we're getting all these three-stars. And I'm like, we have two, and one's a guard. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And they're like, well.
And the one guard.
We need to do better. Like, Stop it. Get some help.
Yeah, and then the guard is offered by Georgia, Alabama, and I think
get
Miami. It's a crazy, crazy offer list.
Well, and Chapman's only got a year under him.
Exactly.
I mean, you can't expect it after 1 year, and I don't know, what was it, around 1,400 yards plus and a few rushing touchdowns as well. Like, they're not going to throw a five-star on him, even if he looks like a five-star after 1 year. Now, that may change this next year, come up, but I don't, after 1 year playing time, which according to you, I didn't even see this part. I mean, that he came in to take over. Like, so I don't even know that it was a full year that he was given. So he's not going to get
that. He played 10 games, including the two playoff games. So he missed at least two or three games in there due to injury.
Yes. He played basically like 8 games and then 2 playoff games. So,
yeah. Now the whole discussion, like, just because X player was a three-star means three stars are all good. Like, that's not intellectually accurate, I don't think, right. But like, they can be good for sure.
Sure.
Just like five stars can be bad. 100%. I was thinking about this today and I haven't looked this up. I think I know the answer, but the last time we started a quarterback that we got out of high school, is it Hank Brown?
Yes.
Yeah, from a starter.
Yeah.
And then the one before that's Bo, right?
Yeah, Bo before that. Matter of fact, I know this is terrible. You're going to hate me for this because you liked Hank Brown. Zach, I didn't even think
used
about
to.
Hank Brown. Yeah. I went straight to Bo when you said that. So I didn't even think about Hank Brown.
I'm not going to hate you for that. I don't care. But I'm just trying to think, like, is that the only one since Bo? And I think it's Hank Brown.
Yeah.
I'll ask you another question. Like, How many of the top 10 in the college football playoffs do you think started a quarterback that they got out of high school?
Oh, gosh.
Just off the top of your head.
Probably just Georgia.
Yeah.
And Bama.
Pretty close.
Georgia, and Ohio Bama, State. Ohio State, yeah. Texas, if that were they top 10?
Texas was not, no. They didn't make the playoffs.
And then, like, Notre Dame.
They didn't make the playoffs.
They didn't make the playoffs. I'm just thinking of, like, these
solid
programs.
I think it was four. Out of the top 10. Yeah, and it's been worse. It's been worse before.
That comes into NIL too, Kyle. I mean, they're paying those guys not to go anywhere. And so, you know, they started them not necessarily as true freshmen, but then they're paying to keep them. So, otherwise, they probably go somewhere as well.
Sure.
I mean, you're talking about Ohio State, bottomless pockets. Georgia, bottomless pockets. Even though they didn't make it, like Zach just mentioned, Texas, bottomless pockets. Notre Dame, bottomless pockets. So those guys aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, the high school retention stuff, I think you're going to see in more of those top schools than anywhere else.
Yeah.
But it's still going to be very it really just depends on the situation. Like, it depends on, like, how spread out you have guys. Like, they're not going to just continue to, I don't think, just stack up guys – like four or five deep out of high school, and those dudes are just going to wait. I mean, there's going to be some times where some guys miss and they're going to have to go fill gaps. And, you know, Georgia's brought in portal guys to back up like a bunch. Julian Sayin technically was a portal guy. He went to Alabama first. But anyway, look, the point is, I guess the point we're trying to make is this was a weird class anyway, as far as quarterbacks go, when you're trying to figure out like what's next and is this the class that you dump everything in to go get an elite quarterback or is it next year? And I want to ask you this too. Do you think the emergence of, Tua over the spring and like the success he's had and maybe the potential of him moving forward, do you think that makes, makes this conversation maybe completely irrelevant or a lot less relevant? Because like you said, Zach, the odds, I hope he plays at Auburn and I hope he's fantastic.
I hope he's great.
I hope he wins the Heisman.
Is his first start at Auburn or somewhere else? I think we're all saying somewhere else.
For sure, for sure. Does the emergence of Tua like make this whole thing like somewhat irrelevant? Like this conversation somewhat irrelevant?
No, because I mean, who is the other school recruit? Wake Forest is that who we flipped him from? So yeah. I mean, it's not like Georgia and Ohio State and Notre Dame were knocking down his door. So I think he's under the impression, and they probably are brutally honest. I mean, I think he knows he's not coming in to start in day one, but Tua comes up next year and then, Chapman comes in and then there's an opportunity. And I'm still with Zach about possibly going somewhere else. But then again, you just mentioned it, Kyle. You got four out of the top 10. So clearly over the next 10 years, if you're able to get 40% of the quarterbacks, I know that's a small sample size, that you bring in to stay and play, then you're on par with the rest of the country. So I don't know that it's necessarily a bad thing. You got to get the numbers in, and if they get in here and they fall in love and they fall in love with the staff and they fall in love with the system, I think they're willing to stay. But if they get in here and they butt heads with everybody, doesn't matter if they're a three-star or five-star, they're going to go somewhere else.
Ben, Zach, do you think that the Tua situation made this decision a lot easier to go with a guy like Chapman and not like try to overspend or do whatever you got to do to flip a guy like, I don't know, Trent Seaborn from Alabama? I mean, think about Alabama's got two quarterbacks committed, Elijah Haven one, Trent Seaborn. Seaborn's come to Auburn on multiple visits. There's a relationship there. Do you think that the emergence of Tua makes it easier to just roll with a guy like Chapman versus, going out and trying to throw a bag at someone else?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they've probably made the decision on Tristan Tua one way or another yet as far as, okay, can Tristan Tua be the guy after Byram? I'm sure they've had those conversations.
Sure.
But I don't think there's any way they have enough information to make that decision yet. And once again, if we had to ask, what's more likely, Auburn's next starting quarterback after Byron Brown, is he on the roster or is he not? I think the more likely option is he's not on the roster right now. So you don't dump a lot of money into your quarterback. We're assuming they didn't drop a bag for Chapman. Does that free you up to go get another portal quarterback? Yes. And from a timing standpoint, you don't want to limit and handicap and, handcuff yourself with looking for a guy with specific eligibility requirements. But honestly, if they found a guy with 1 year left that was really similar to Byram and they did that and then they went to Tristan Tua, that honestly would probably be the best case scenario for everyone involved. But you don't want to limit your scope if there's a guy who's better that has 2 or 3 years left of eligibility, you got to go get the guy who's best. You can't worry about Tristan Tua in that situation.
That's an interesting – that's a very, very interesting point to think about, because when you're when you go into it trying to perfectly nail it as far as trying to get that perfect step stool of quarterbacks, what you're going to end up doing is selling yourself short and not just going and getting the best person available. What does it say? The last QB we started that we got out of high school was Deuce. He did start against Mercer.
Yeah, you're right. Good call, Braden. Thank you for saying that.
That's super literal. But, yeah, I guess – I think maybe what you meant was a guy that was going to start maybe an SEC game. Is that maybe was
– the guy that was basically going to be possibly named the starter for the year, correct? That's – isn't that where we were going?
No, I mean – I guess Hank got it because Peyton was so bad. And then he was like, oh, okay, all right, Hank's bad too. And so they put him back in. But Yeah, no, I meant literal. So yeah, Braden's right. I totally whiffed on that.
I saw a really good question and then I lost it.
You make a good point though, Kyle, that I think between what you're saying and what Zach's saying, which is, you know, more than likely the starting quarterback is probably not on the roster.
That, I know what it was. Go ahead.
I think that's just the quote. I think that's just the way of the world too. I don't think that's just Auburn. I think that's a lot of schools, because Kyle and I have preached over and over on Afternoon Delight, where we've talked about go somewhere and play and get something on film and get somebody to notice you. And then you're able to move and come in as a starter and grab your 2 years with your 3 years of eligibility left and hopefully get drafted. So I think that a lot of quarterbacks in that 3 and 4 star range are looking at doing that now, because maybe the money's not there that they're giving 5 stars, and then the playing time is there somewhere else at maybe a smaller school.
Yep. I know what I was going to ask. What do you think the odds are? Like, if you had to put a percentage on it, that the starting quarterback next year is on the roster, what percentage would you put that?
I don't want to answer that. I don't want to answer that.
Come on. Let's do it.
About, oh, you're a Tia hater. And I'm really not. I like Tristan Tia. Oh,
you think it's above 50 or below 50?
Yes. Well below 50.
So below 50?
Yeah, wait, I think it's less than 50.
Phrase the question again.
Okay. What is the percentage that Auburn's starting quarterback in 2027 is on the roster? Is it above 50% or below 50%?
Below 50.
Yeah.
Okay. Below 50?
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
Below 40. I mean, it's hard not to argue. It's hard to argue below with that, 30. Though, just based off of current events. I mean, exactly. We've had, what, 3 years now in a row?
So I just recorded Tomorrow's Locked On with Lindsay, and Lindsay asked me a question, and it kind of stopped me in my tracks, because we were talking about this. And Lindsay asked me, what's a scenario where you feel comfortable with, like, oh, Tristan Tia has done enough this year to be the guy? And you can't really answer that without saying, oh, Byron missed some games, which I don't love doing that. That's scary.
No.
Or
the only other scenario is Auburn's offense clicks and they're blowing people out, and Tia gets to see the field quite a bit and get a lot of experience. And I'm probably leaning more towards the Byron missing games being a more high probability of that happening than us blowing a bunch
that
of people out.
That is scary. It is scary now, man. Think in college football today, it's really scary to think about going into a season without some sort of proven commodity when they're available. It feels like a huge risk, doesn't it? Like, so let's say if Byron is healthy all year, okay, you probably have how many games out of 12 do you think you get to see a good bit of Tia? 4 or 5, where maybe you get more than
– Define good bit.
Okay, let's say over a quarter or a quarter. At least
you're
a quarter.
You're just talking total snaps played.
Total snaps played? I have no idea how to do that math. I'm just.
But as far as, like, he's in the game, he's playing.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
But it's a 4-score game.
Yeah, I mean, half.
Like, I think if you're in and you're up 28 points, like, I would argue that doesn't do anything.
Yeah, because he's not going to throw the ball. He's just going to be handing it off. And.
Well, there are – I mean, I get that, but there are schools that have done a really good job about bringing quarterbacks along. When you actually have a plan and you're bringing a guy along, and it's not just handoff practice, like, you can get some good work, like, with those guys.
Yeah, we don't know. Golish may be one of those guys. I mean, that could be something that happens if they get 3 scores up. I mean, he may just keep airing it out and keep running his style.
It's not even so much airing it out. It's not even so much airing it out as it is we're not trying to grind the whole clock away. We're just going to run our regular offense.
Run an offense.
Yeah. Just run our regular offense. You think maybe if he gets 5 quarters of play worth of play is playing time, and
this is all garbage time situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think you can do enough in any amount of garbage time situation
to feel comfortable.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the other team that at that point is also giving up. So even if you're running your regular offense, you may have guys half stepping out there on the defense.
And it also puts him in an awful situation too, because it's probably not going to be the starting O line. It's probably not going to be your starting receivers. It's like, what is that? What does that teach you? What does that show you?
So is there an idea? Well, what's the answer then? You just roll the dice. That's the answer, right? Like, one way or another, if you're going to go with somebody that's on your roster one way or another, you're rolling the dice.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I could see Alex Gold shaking this two different directions, right? I could see him taking it after the season saying, all right, he is our guy, believe in the offense, believe in the system. He knows what to do. And also I can save a bunch of money and invest it on the O-line or D-line or, you know, whatever position group helps make the team better. Okay.
Like a rookie contract.
Like if you give Tia like a brand new O-line and you totally revamp it, or you combine it with pieces that you're developing, you know, Derek Plaz will come back, you know, several guys are going to be able to come back. It's like, okay. Like I could see that being a net positive for sure. But I could also see him saying like, okay, like some of this might depend on how well we do this year, but like looking back, like, okay, this is tough. And oh yeah, it's just going to get tougher when you look at the 2027 opponents and the pressure that's going to be put on me. I can't risk it with Tristan Tia. Like Tristan Tia is not Tristan Tia's fault. I just can't risk it with Tristan Tia.
What if you win 10 games this year? Quarterback. What if you win 10 games this year?
I think it gives you some room. I think that gives you some room.
But if you win like 8 or 7 or 8, boy, it's going to be tough. Because like we said, unless Byram gets hurt, it is going to be a huge gamble, period. It's going to be a massive gamble. And if you win 7 or 8 games going into year 2, you're going to want be expected to take another step. Like, we're cool with that, but you better take another step forward. Man, it's going to be tough. That would be really, really tough.
If I'm sitting in the coaching staff's position, I think, Zach, maybe you're the one to point out a scenario a while ago. You get 8 wins. Let's just say you get 8 wins. But you got the guys that are in there that know the system now, that have been involved in the system for well over a year when you count the springs and all that. You're not going Tia. You're going to find another guy that's a lot like Byram Brown, and you're bringing him in, even if it's for a year, even possibly 2 years, because you're bringing in somebody that can basically acclimate to what is around them with the current staff and the current OC and head coach that's in that position. So –
Ten
wins gives you the leeway to kind of do whatever, but the 8 wins, then you're starting to build, you're getting better than the previous year, clearly. And if you're going to continue that system to get from 8 to 10 wins, you're probably going to want something that's very similar. You're not just going to, you know, flip the page and go in a total different direction. Does that make sense?
So if that's the case, why don't we just sign? And again, this is absolutely no insult to Gary Chapman, because, again, I think he's got the tools to be good. But, like, why don't you just sign a Gary Chapman every year?
I think there's an argument for that.
Yeah, I do.
And if one hits, you've won the lottery. Otherwise, you're going to be going to the portal every single 1 or 2 years anyway.
I think in a perfect world, it would be nice to do that. But that goes against what you and I have talked about before, whereas we have said that if you're a 3-star and you don't feel like you're going to get any playing time, go somewhere where you can get on the field and prove that you can, so that way you can move up.
Yeah, but until that starts happening,
I know
those guys are still available.
Yeah.
Until the Gary Chapman Jr. guy is like, no, I'm going to Wake Forest. Yep. I know I'm going to make less money, but I'm going to go to Wake Forest and I'm going to start my freshman year, and then I'm going to go try to make $1 million my sophomore year. Until that actually starts happening,
I agree.
Why not just get one of those guys every single year and then supplement with the portal, and then dump the money on the line and the, you know, the trenches and the guys around them. I don't know. It would be a freaking nightmare. It would be a freaking nightmare to manage quarterbacks.
Oh, Lindsay and I got done recording yesterday's show, and at the end of the segment or tomorrow's show, and we're like, how are they doing this? Like, how are you managing all these 1-year deals? It's unbelievable.
How do you even know?
What a disaster.
It is. I mean, there's a...
The only thing that they have in their favor is really, like, at this point, nobody can go anywhere until December. So, like,
yeah,
once you get past January, you just focus on the damn season, man. You're focusing on the season and, you know... Essentially, you're like, okay, we're going to just rebuild a team, rebuild a whole new team next year. And I know we're talking about quarterbacks in general, but this conversation could be had with
just about
every other room.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the change in the portal has been a good thing for that reason, Kyle, because you can focus right now on the season and then you know where you stand at the end of the year, what you need to go get. And so you just basically have to open up the pocketbook and ask the donors to and see if you can go get what you need in order to be successful. But you can't miss, man. You can't, after a few years, you can't miss, or you're starting over from ground zero.
I know. It's scary. It's scary. I think the most, if it was a perfect world and I could say the most perfect scenario would be T is the guy next year. Somehow he's good enough. And when I say he's the guy, not just like we just anoint him the guy. He's really, really good and he earns it. And then you get Kingston per year in the 2028 class. And then somehow that works out to where he sits 1 year as a true freshman. And then T is really good. And then Kingston per year. And then you jumps in as a sophomore and takes over, and maybe you can kind of get off of the portal quarterback narcotic that it's become. Like, one, it's like once you start dipping in there, you can't get off of it. It's just impossible. Anyway, that stresses me out even thinking about it. But you know what doesn't stress me out, Zach? Auburn baseball. Holy cow.
Woo. Game two stressed me out. Goodness gracious. That was incredibly stressful.
We beat Mississippi.
Nah, fam, I got you. I got you in the top of the ninth.
Guys, we beat Mississippi State so bad, they started liking us. We beat them so bad that they were like, Bub, we need to feed you in the outfield.
Oh.
That was the best part of the whole weekend.
Yeah. Them feeding him kebabs over the fence that and then him amazing. Leaving with a tray of food.
They were like, y'all are absolutely dominating us right now. Like, the only thing we can do is share food with you in the outfield.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly respect them as a fan because they were blasting us Thursday. They were talking so much smack Thursday night. And they killed us. I mean, grand slam in the first inning. Like, yeah, okay. Like, there's flaws with baseball. Like, that's one of them. Like, man, we got to play the rest of this game. Goodness gracious. But, yeah, no, we whooped them the rest of the way, which was super, super fun. Super, super exciting. And I mean, this is a team that's like Mississippi State still has better odds, according to, like, you know, sports books, to win the College World Series, as does Texas A&M than Auburn right now, which is ridiculous. But Auburn went on the road and beat both of those teams in dramatic fashion. And look, Auburn hasn't lost a rubber game that matters for a series since they lost game three to Texas. And they've done such a great job of keeping their guys fresh and the bullpen available going into game three because of what Alvarez has really been able to do. And most situations, you know, other starters. But Jackson Sanders was really, really good on game two. I'm kind of surprised they stuck with him in the ninth. That was definitely the right call. A little risky, but it certainly paid off. Then going into game three with Petro and
everybody
ready. Like, goodness gracious. Goodness gracious, is exactly what you want to see.
I mean, they got six starters. I mean, you just don't hear that in college baseball. And, you know, those guys can be used in middle to late relief. And it's just so fun to watch. I mean, especially when the bats come around because of what we dealt with at the first of the year where they were silent. So, and to win at Mississippi State, I've been able to go to a game there.
2017, is that the last time I saw that we won a series?
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
I'm not shocked. I mean, it's – going and winning there is like going into Baton Rouge at night and winning. I mean, it in football. I mean, that's how hard it is to win at Mississippi State. So
yeah, I mean that they love their baseball. They love it. It is life over there. I mean, looking at that stadium, that environment, it's incredible to go in there and win. I mean, let's rewind a few weeks ago and we're like, oh my goodness, Auburn's in this incredible spot, but their final three series are on the road at A&M, on the road at Mississippi State, and then they host Georgia. Man, if you can just like not get swept and find a way to win one of those series, you're going to be a national seed. And then what do? They win the first two. They go on the road and win those first two. And they beat a UAB team whose RPI was in the top 50 at the time of that game. They've dropped since then. But this is a team that now hosts a Georgia team that's locked up the SEC. Curious if they handle like their pitching situations a little bit differently. There's no reason to have some of those guys pitch in the 90s or 100s.
Yeah,
of pitches. So I'm kind of curious if Auburn can take advantage of that. But no, I think they've done enough. Like, I know we were like, oh, they've got to win one. And like, I think one certainly would secure it. But I think they've done enough with their strength of schedule and their RPI. and then who like and like who these games are against this weekend, I think they've done enough. I think they've secured a national seed.
You know, you told me, you said it's 100% if you win 17 conference games that you're a national seed, and like 80% at 16. Do you think that – I would love to see the teams in that 80% and how many had the number one strength of schedule. I would love to know that. I would imagine probably not many.
And we've also seen Auburn kind of get the benefit of the doubt over the last few years, as other SEC teams get the benefit of the doubt. I mean, there was, I think it was like 3 years ago or so, we got the 16th seed and we got to host a regional, and there was a lot of people upset about it. It was kind of a reach, but a lot of it has to do with RPI. Much like college basketball, RPI matters more than what these polls are, and the polls are what people see. Auburn is number three in the country in RPI right now. They're ahead of Texas. They're ahead of Mississippi State. They're ahead of Georgia. They're ahead of Texas A&M. Florida State's very high on that. We beat them in the non-conference. Nebraska's 16th in RPI. We beat them in the non-conference. Cincinnati, who we thought was this awful loss, they're 19th. They're top 20. They'll be a two seed in this thing. It's unbelievable who all they've played and who they've all been able to beat. And so if it's close or whatever, Auburn's going to get the tiebreaker against any of these teams.
And guess what? You got to play the 34 team in RPI on Tuesday at their place, which sucks.
It does suck. And normally, like, they find ways to get out of these types of games, but this could actually help you. Also, Jacksonville's not a state.
It's not. And it's not spelled with an X either. And they do that frequently.
Yeah, well, they do.
That bothers me a little bit.
I know. It's almost like putting too many A's in front of a number.
No, putting too many A's with no number. There's
with no
guidance.
Number. Sorry.
It's
just I'm A's. Sorry. I know. Sorry.
It makes me go cross-eyed, and then I lose count and have to start over again.
And, Zach, does that RPI, will it grow after we play Georgia next weekend? I mean, we could go from 3 to 2 or 1, right?
Good.
Yeah. RPI doesn't take into account that they may throw their starter 3 innings. That doesn't factor in. So
that's correct.
And so it's going to be interesting to see. They're definitely going to own the tiebreaker after next weekend. You're able to
Georgia's 15th in RPI, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
look at their SEC schedule,
man, they've played all of the bottom teams in the SEC.
Yeah. Like, they just got LSU. Right? They just swept LSU, and LSU's having a pretty bad year. And then their non-conference schedule was a joke. It was an absolute joke. It was similar to like when we were going into Missouri. People are like, oh, is Missouri good? I'm like, no, they're not good. No, they're not. They can't even light their ballpark for a full 9 innings. Goodness gracious.
That's pretty tough. Wild. Seeing that LSU coach a couple of weeks back where he was like, I think I just picked the wrong guys in the portal. I'm like, holy crap, he just threw his entire team under the bus.
Yeah, no, Georgia's electric, though. They're a fun baseball team to watch. They can hit it. They've got strong pitching. I do think Auburn's pitching is deeper, and I think it'll definitely be deeper this weekend. But, you know, we've seen this Auburn offense be hot and cold in series. Curious to see what it looks like at home this weekend.
Do they have Q1 games?
Yep.
Is this true?
Yeah. No, yep. Georgia's got a top-heavy schedule for sure. For sure. Lindsay mentioned that on the show that went up Sunday morning.
I didn't know they did quads either till the announcers brought it up the other night during the game, Kyle. And I was like, oh, that makes a difference.
I mean, if they're going to use RPI, they might as well. I mean, that's basically the net ranking for baseball.
Mm-hmm. That's the whole point of it. I'm with you. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Anything else, guys? Good show, by the way.
I love y'all.
No, just stay nervous about the quarterback, man.
Say it back.
Oh, we love you too. Love you too. Love you more.
How about that?
Yeah.
How does that make you feel? Big.
Thanks. I feel warm now.
Stronger than new rope.
Chat, thank you guys for participating. Great Sunday night. Glad to be back. And we're going to have an awesome week of shows over at the barn. Make sure you're subscribed. If you're checking out the ticker at the bottom, it lets you know all of the different shows that we have on YouTube. And then, obviously, you got Ben and I's show on audio. And then members only on YouTube at 4:30 p.m. every day for your drive home. So, a lot of fun. We had some crazy scenarios we ran through ChatGPT. Zach, you're going to have to go back and check those out.
Okay, I'll check it out.
It's pretty fun. Guys, y'all take it easy. We'll be back again very, very soon. We out of here.